Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you again for joining me today. I appreciate you listening to the broadcast. I hope it's a blessing to you. I know you're a blessing to me for tuning in. And I have a question for you this week. Is America in prophecy? Would it surprise you if I told you that it's not? You know, a lot of people think the Bible includes America, or that America has some sort of divine destiny. I don't have a problem with stating that the Lord has providentially caused some things to take place that has given us the freedoms that we have to preach the gospel of Christ. For example, I believe God's hand was in the hearts of men who put together our founding documents, because God knew that it would allow men to have the freedom to preach the gospel of Christ. But as far as directing the destiny of America as a nation, may I submit to you that God is not in the business of dealing with nations today. He certainly was in time past, but America wasn't even in the picture. Compare, if you will, Exodus chapter 19. As far as nations are concerned, God only dealt with one nation in the sense of being their God and their being his people. And that nation is Israel. In Exodus 19, we read in verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Well, the first thing we need to recognize is God promised a prominent position as a nation to Israel, and only to Israel. They were to be kings and priests. And of course, we know now that the nation Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their king, and God set them aside for now. But we'll get to that in just a moment. In talking about nations, another picture we have of nations we find in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. And it's certainly a prophetic book, but you won't find America there either. Daniel chapter 2 concerns a dream that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had. And Daniel, the prophet, was given by God the interpretation of that dream. We read in verse 31 of Daniel chapter 2, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." Now, we don't have to guess. The interpretation of the dream is given as we continue reading. Verse 36, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." And remember, Daniel is speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Verse 37, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. That's the golden head of the image that he dreamed. Verse 39 continues, And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, and that would be the 10 toes of the iron kingdom that are mixed with clay, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, it doesn't take great intellect or a lot of searching to figure out that the kingdom of gold, the golden head, represents Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. The second kingdom would be the kingdom of silver, would be Media Persia, which came after Babylon. It conquered Nebuchadnezzar, or his kingdom. The third kingdom was the kingdom of brass, and that was Greece. Alexander the Great conquered Persia. And then the fourth and final kingdom of the kingdoms of the world would be Rome. Rome is the kingdom of iron that conquered Greece and reigns until the stone without hands, that's cut without hands, comes down from heaven and crushes it. And it's destroyed, the 10 kings of that kingdom destroyed, and the Lord Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom on the earth. That kingdom will be a nation, and it is Israel. But let me show you which Israel we're talking about. First of all, notice that the 4 kingdoms, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, do not include nor mention anything about Europe or America. If anything is going to be true about those two areas, they are part of the Roman Empire, somehow, in a way that I don't understand. But what I do understand is the kingdom of Rome is still in power when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. How events are going to unfold to cause that to be about is up to the Lord to decide. Or if it turns out that we are in the Roman Empire in a mystery form, that may be true as well. But either way you look at it, America is not in the picture. There's nothing good about any of these nations. Back to Israel, as I mentioned, when Jesus Christ came, the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The nation Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their king, and hence rejected the kingdom. And so after a parable, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus Christ says to them these words, and by them I mean the Pharisees. Verse 42 of Matthew 21 says, Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, that meaning you leaders of Israel, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, many people today, Christians, sincere believers, are misled into thinking that America became this new nation, that we are spiritual Israel or some such thing as that. You cannot prove that is true in Scripture. You have to base it upon a faulty premise, that we are somehow spiritual Jews or spiritual Israel. It won't work. The reason I know that is because of what the Bible says in Luke chapter 12. In speaking to the disciples in Luke 12, Jesus Christ says these words, Fear not, little flock, the little flock or the 12. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then the kingdom of heaven that was taken from the leaders of Israel and given to a nation that would bring forth the fruits thereof was given to the nation of the little flock. Those who believed the preaching of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the 12 disciples, the gospel of the kingdom, that is, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, they are going to be the kings and priests that God will establish as a holy nation when he returns. Right now, Israel is in a condition known as Lo Ammi. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 1, in verse 9, Then said God, Call his name Lo Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Referring to a son that was born to Hosea and his wife, Gomer, that is named so, Lo Ammi, to represent God no longer counting Israel as his people, as his son. God took the kingdom from the nation Israel and gave it to the little flock, the disciples, Jews that believe the preaching of the kingdom, who are going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, along with all those Jews that believed their preaching. The group of Jews alive today that live in the land of Israel in Palestine are not the Israel of God. I know that may anger some of you, but check it out. That group of people in Israel are not God's Israel. They are in the condition of Lo Ammi, not my son or not my people. Besides, it is a socialist democracy that is guilty of all manner of things, and they do not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They've been set aside. They were formed by a communist organization called the United Nations, placed there in the land after World War II. That was not God's regathering of Israel into the land, no matter how badly you want to make it be so. Now, besides all that, I've got something else for you to consider. God is not dealing with nations today anyhow. We've just seen in the book of Daniel the nations God considers the kingdoms he's going to deal with. They included Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome, and apparently still includes Rome, until the final kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new flock, the little flock, the nation Israel, that will believe, is established. They will be kings and priests. Now back to this thing about America. You consider something concerning America today. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34 says, Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now that is certainly true of America. Folks, we live in an America today where over 1 million children a year are murdered, sanctioned by the United States government, paid for by our tax dollars. And that, above anything else, should be a cry, a scream, if you will, of unrighteousness in the heart of every saved individual. And yet we see this continue to go on year after year. And with all our work and all our effort to legislate changes, we barely make a crack at a time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't try to change this atrocity. But why in the world do you think God would bless America when they have such blood on their hands? If righteousness exalteth a nation and sin is a reproach to any people, I couldn't begin to number for you the sinful things that this nation is doing. If God were judging nations today, this nation would have been destroyed a long time ago. God is not dealing with nations today. He's dealing with individuals. We've come to the point in this nation where we value life so little that we don't even call it murder when an unborn child is killed. We don't even call it murder when an older person who's not able to communicate is euthanized. We've come so far away from the principles and the truth of the gospel of Christ that we are, as the Bible says, woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. God would never bless such a nation as this. This nation is as evil as any other nation. It may still be the best place to live on earth, but it is far from the holy nation that God will make of Israel. For that matter, Israel is far from the holy nation that God will have them be. We'd better thank God that He is not dealing with nations on the basis of their righteousness right now. We need to thank God that He is dealing with individuals on the basis of His mercy and grace. While we listen to this next song, I want you to consider the thing I mentioned about life. We call it abortion in this country today, but it is murder. We don't know, though, that the child who's unwanted may not be the child that would grow up to save another individual through the gospel of Christ.
I may never change the world or even make a dent. Never be a household word, a king or a president. I may not be the child they say was heaven sent. But thanks to you, I had a chance to be. I may never see your face or even know your name. I can only pray your heart recovered from the shame of making the decision that couldn't hide your blame. And thanks to you, I had a chance to be. When you made the choice, you heard my voice. A cry within the womb would have been my tomb. You gave me up to those who gave me love and showed me you're the one who loved me most. When you made the choice, never know the pain you felt to let me go. A single unwed mother with a child she'll never know. Pressure to prevent the birth, how it tore your conscience so. But thanks to you, I had a chance to be. When you made the choice, you heard my voice. A cry in my tomb. You gave me up to those who gave me love and showed me you're the one who loved me most. When you made the choice, wouldn't it be something if the day should ever come you hear the gospel from the mouth of your own son, and you believe and trust the Savior as your own, because you gave your child a chance to be. When you made the choice, you heard my voice. A cry within the womb would have been my tomb. Gave me up to those who gave me love and showed me you're the one who loved me most. I know that you're the one who loved me most. You showed me you're the one who loved me most when you made the choice.
Thank God the woman in the song made the right choice. You know, that song was written based upon a true situation. A woman thanking her birth mother for sparing her life in the womb when the pressure was on her to have an abortion. I thank God and praise God for the brave mothers and fathers of children who, under pressure to have an abortion and murder their unborn child, give their children up for adoption to families that are waiting to love them and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I hope that song speaks to you in some way that would encourage you to think in terms of life and value every soul as a gift from God. Now back to our question concerning America in prophecy. Every time I turn around, it seems, somebody's offering their tapes or seminars on the book of Revelation or prophecy specials of some sort. And they make a lot of money selling these things too. Don't be suckered by these morons selling you prophecy seminars. Let me tell you what the Bible told you about the things to come. Your apostle, Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, wrote these words to you, the body of Christ, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. There's my prophecy seminar, and it didn't cost you a dime. You just learned all you need to know about America in prophecy. You don't need to spend $100 for Jim Baker's videos. You don't need to spend $29.95 for some prophecy seminar downtown at a convention center. Paul told you there's no need for him to write to you of the times or the seasons. Then you don't need to worry about it. Why would he make such a statement? That's because of what it says in chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, And to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's all you need to know about the times of tribulation. You have been delivered from the wrath to come. If you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins, was buried and raised again, and call on the name of the Lord, trust him for your salvation, you're saved from the wrath to come. You're not going. You're not going to be in this thing called the tribulation. All over America today, people are standing out saying there's no such thing as the rapture. Don't fall for that. They do not know what the Bible says. Anybody that tells you there's no such thing as a rapture has never studied the Scriptures. They've studied books about the Scriptures. They may have studied Greek and Hebrew, might even have degrees in Greek and Hebrew. But they have not compared Scripture with Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. No, the word rapture isn't in the Bible, but the word caught up is, and it's a mystery. The reason why God is not dealing with nations today is because he's not judging nations today. He's not judging men today. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says, To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If God was in Christ, not imputing trespasses unto the world, then God is not imputing trespasses unto the world right now. Yes, he is going to judge the world in righteousness during the time of tribulation, when his wrath does fall. But you don't live in the time of tribulation. You live in a time of grace. In fact, it's called the dispensation of grace, a time when God is dispensing grace to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Paul, your apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles, was sent to tell you that God will have all men be saved. That's all men without distinction. No longer only accepting those who fear God and work righteousness, but will accept all men if they will believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He is not imputing trespasses unto the world, and therefore he's not judging nations. We have police and kings and those that are in authority to govern nations until the Lord returns. And yes, it's right to pray for our president. Yes, it's right to pray for our Congress and pray that somehow God would grant them some wisdom to get their heads back into the truth and somehow make good laws or take away about 2/3 of the laws they've already made that are complete and total nonsense. We do that and pray for them for the purpose that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life. Not that God would turn America around or bless America. God's only going to bless one thing right now. That is you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Quit worrying about national America and worry about your salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. And if you are saved, get in gear and start telling people the gospel of Christ so that others can be saved. Then God will fill this body up, take us out of this world, and He will come to judge this world in righteousness, and He will establish a new nation. And America is not God's Israel. It never ceases to amaze me how many people want to claim the covenant promises and the land and the inheritance that God promised to Israel for America. We're not even on the same continent. Israel was promised an earthly kingdom in a land that is clearly defined in Scripture to be that tract of land over in the Middle East. It's not part of our inheritance anyway. We that are saved by grace through faith, we are seated far above all heavens at God's right hand. All of our blessings are spiritual. Our position is spiritual in heavenly places, not on the earth. We're constantly striving to appropriate Israel's covenant blessings in a physical sense to America today. It's not going to happen. Why don't you set your affection on things above, as Paul told you to do in Colossians chapter 3? Why don't you see what your inheritance is in Ephesians chapter 3? Why can't we just get in the book, believe the book, and trust the book means what it says, as it says it, and where it says it concerning the church, the body of Christ, and leave America to the God of this world who has control of it anyway? Let the Lord Jesus Christ reign in your hearts to do the thing God would have you do so that we can fill the body of Christ up. Are you lost this morning? Do you want a Savior? Will you be saved? Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's my prayer that you will. I thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services at the Silver Center, 510 Court Street, here in Seguin. We would love to have you come and join us. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.